So hello, my name's Liz Hall. I'm the editor of Coaching at Work magazine, and I'm delighted to be recording this podcast, this interview for Climate Coaching Action Day 2024, which is on the 6th of March. And I'm particularly delighted because today I have with me Andra Morosi, who is a systemic coach, supervisor, and she's the co-founder of Seedlings with her colleague Monique Kumar, who's also here today. Monique is a leadership coach and consultant. And they describe Seedlings as a mission-driven pioneering coaching organization, which is planting the seeds of deep transformation of business for a regenerative economy. So right up our street in terms of this year's theme of creating ripples in the system. And they're both highly engaged in terms of their coaching as in the world of climate change and sustainability, and have been for some years. So they're really good examples of how we can actually bring to life our personal values in the professional setting. So I'm really looking forward to hearing all about how they've done that, and I'm sure it's going to be very inspiring. So big warm welcome to you both.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you.
It's a privilege to be interviewed by you, especially with Coaching at Work, who's a pioneering in terms of new trends and coaching practices. So we're delighted to be here.
Delighted to be with you. I'm really curious actually to hear how you're, well, I suppose let's start first with why you launch Seedlings.
You want to start, Andra, and I will complete?
About 3 years ago, on a personal level, I felt compelled to pay more attention as a coach, as a person, to what was happening around us just before the pandemic, and of course, during and after the pandemic. And I came across the Climate Coaching Alliance. I got involved from the start in this movement that was being created in 2020. And then I set up a community in France, which enabled me to meet like-minded coaches who were interested and wanted to learn from each other to feel less lonely and to reflect on how we could make a difference through our profession. I'm personally engaged. I had a big life change. I left the big city to move in the countryside to do permaculture. But bringing that into my professional field was really compelling. It was really important at the time. So, via the different sequences in our activities as a community of coaches, engaged coaches with the Climate Coaching Alliance, French. In France and French speaking, I met several other coaches who were ready to give it a try and say, okay, just having individual action, is that enough? Or do we need to communicate, to position ourselves, and to have a claim that we are dedicated and we have a mission and create an organization like Seedlings that is exclusively dedicated to supporting the transition? So, after a year of reflection, finding the right people, seeing what we wanted to do, we were ready to kickstart towards the end of 2022. And we officially exist since December 2022, so just over a year now. Monique, maybe.
Yeah, if I can complete in my story, there was also a personal trigger. I have the chance to have a daughter who is turning 30 this year and who is very, very engaged. And 5 years ago, it was the time where there was all these climate walks with the youth movement, and I had deep discussions with my daughter. Who was saying that she was not even sure that she wanted to have children herself. And for me, that was very, very moving. And I tried to see it from her eyes, and I tried to really research by myself what was going on with this environmental crisis. And it made me aware that I couldn't coach the same way. I was already a leadership coach, working with large companies, and once I had understood the magnitude of the crisis, it was not possible anymore to be silent and not to bring it in my coaching sessions. So I did some formal learning. I went to Cambridge to study business and climate change to understand not in depth, but the background of what was going on in companies when they were tackling the topic. And I joined Climate Coaching Alliance to be more equipped as a coach on how to address this topic in my coachings, both with individuals and with teams. And also because we need a collective, we need to have energy with other people who are committed to the cause. And it was a huge boost. Not only did I meet Andra and some other wonderful people with whom we created Seedlings, but we also found ways to get inspired and to go further as coaches. And maybe also, why did we create a separate company and not work with our own previous companies? I think it's important to realize that it's not only about individual changes, even if these individual changes are very important, but here we are speaking about changing systems. It's so big, so large, that we need to be many. For the time being, we are eight, but probably in the years to come, we will be many more because this is such a large topic that we need this strong alliance of engaged coaches to approach it in a meaningful way.
Wonderful and so moving. And our children, if we do have children, can often be such a conscience, can't I? I have that experience as well with
Exactly.
two girls who are approaching 30. So I'd love to hear what this actually looks like, in your business. What does it actually look like? I know you draw from nature and take a very systems approach, but I'd love to hear more.
There's quite a lot to say. Well, we believe that true transformation comes from within. So that's one of the foundational pillars. The idea is to support leaders, teams, organizations to really look inside and make a connection between their personal journey, their personal transformation, and their deep belief in the impact they're having on the world through their careers, through their positions, through their roles in the organizations. And then bring transformation in their teams, be open to emergence, and trust that the systems will find ways of moving forward in the direction that the world and the planet needs. So it's not about looking for solutions or ready-made solutions, but really that's why we put the human dimension at the core of our model. So inner work for outer change, if we can do it in a nutshell. Secondly is the connection to living systems. So we really believe that change and transformation happen systemically and not in a controlled way, but in an emergent, iterative way, just like it happens in nature. I was mentioning my exploration of permaculture. I drive a lot on observing nature and observing literally permaculture in my garden to bring models, to look at interdependence, to look at the boundaries and how permeable everything is and how organic all the transformation happens with the change of season, for example, which is the case at the moment, the arrival of spring. So it's this minute observation of systems and the engagement with the organic, the messy, the unstructured or uncontrolled way, but engaging and having this positive belief of the wisdom in the living systems that drive us. And we bring the living systems in teams and in human systems as well. And our approach is totally connected to the inspiration we get from nature. And in all our approaches, we try to bring the living systems as one of the stakeholders, not as a decor or as a background to say we do outdoors coaching or outdoors supervision, but we actually look at the living systems as a stakeholder. Maybe the third dimension in our approach is that we believe in the power of cooperation and ecosystemic alliances. And we look at the diversity, I mean, as Monique was saying, the diversity of our profiles or approaches and our backgrounds as a great gift in the alliance we're creating as seedlings to serve also the complexity of the systems that we work with. What else would you say, Monique?
Yeah, I would like to add that we, since the beginning, since we started Seedlings, we have a special legal status, which for the moment only exists in France, but is probably being, will be rolled out in Europe, very soon. It's called Mission Driven Company, and it kind of obliges us to formalize the mission, which is in the status of the company, and we are audited on specific mission objectives every couple of years. We need to challenge ourselves and demonstrate that we are really true to our mission. And this is a fantastic experience that we are going through. Because we are not only there to make a business as coaches, we are also serving a mission. And this brings us a lot of meaning and energy, which is really needed in this field. So this is a very foundational part of our company, the fact that we are mission driven.
Yeah. And I would just say, in addition to what you're saying, that we are trying to be role models and to have a new kind of business and to really challenge ourselves in terms of our ready-made representations, our processes, even our language, like not looking at clients as clients, but as concerned citizens and professionals who are also trying to open up to what is happening in the wider system and find solutions together. So looking at clients or at business from a different angle and renewing our own beliefs and our business practices to look at it totally with new eyes. So role modeling is also not saying yes to assignments that imply taking the plane, for example, because I mean we need to walk the talk. So having this firm commitment personally and professionally about the clients we work with and saying no to some requests that are more in the line of, let's say, between inverted commas, greenwashing, or just having a clear conscience and doing patchwork work just to have a clear conscience that we work on sustainability and ESG, you know? So role modeling is about feeling dedicated and taking this very seriously in our approach. I thought that was really important to add here.
No, wonderful. Really important. I'm sure will resonate with it with a lot of listeners. Absolutely. And lovely that you've got that in France, and I do hope it spreads. I wondered if you could just articulate a little bit more the mission, because obviously that's in your description of Seedlings, but perhaps speak to that a little bit more.
You want to start, Andra, and I will
I'll
complete.
let you because you
Yeah,
started the
Mary.
mission. So,
Yeah.
yeah.
It's at three levels, as many coaching practices do. So individual level, team level, and organization level. I think the key difference is that even when it's individual coaching, we bring a systemic vision, a systemic angle, because it's also about what is it that you need to work on that will serve the world, knowing that there is this big environmental and societal crisis. And since we all work in leadership coaching with the corporate leaders, one question that very often comes up is the question of legacy. The person tries to project themselves and saying, okay, when I retire or when I move on to the next job, what kind of legacy do I want to leave? And really, and this is maybe also a recommendation to other coaches who are not specialists of this field, is really to explore when you think of the magnitude of the crisis, what role do you want to play, and include that in the legacy discussions? So to come back to the question of examples of missions, We do individual coaching of corporate leaders who are change agents in the corporate world. And you have, for example, CSR directors who have a very, very difficult job because very often they are carrying all the weight of this huge transformation. And in large companies, it's still very siloed. And they have all the mental load of changing the company with very little resource and a huge mental pressure. So we have dedicated individual coaching around these topics, for example. Second is working with teams. And again, when we work with teams, we look at the wider angle. How is this team serving a larger purpose than only, for example, finance or purchasing department? And for example, a recent assignment that we carried was about consulting services who are about to sell more CSR consulting jobs and need to be convinced themselves to do this personal journey so that they can bring their clients up to speed to what is needed and help their own transformation. So we have worked with pioneers of this consulting company to help them embrace the topic so that they could transform their clients themselves. What else? We are also designing big corporate events to spread the word about sustainability. Like recently, we have designed and we will be facilitating an event for 250 people in several locations to help have this inner transformation so that they can really embrace this topic of embedding sustainability in their day-to-day job. So I don't know if it's precise enough or if it brings out other questions, Liz.
Well, I mean, it's fascinating to hear some applications of trying to make happen. And I'm curious to hear from you, Andrew, as well. And also if there's anything more you would say about the sort of overarching purpose that you have.
The overarching mission that is, as it is described, I think you quoted it at the beginning, Liz, is transforming leaders, teams, and organizations to fully engage in the transition towards a regenerative economy. So that's the overall purpose that we give ourselves. And then we develop it depending on the different business sectors or the clients' requests. In different ways, as Monique has illustrated, I think what's really important is that we support clients look deeply and have this inner look about their value proposition to the world, looking and questioning their business models, and not bring sustainability as an added element, but putting it at the heart. And saying how can we challenge our historical business model to make it more compliant with how the world is unfolding and what we're seeing around us and what the world needs today. So questioning that requires a lot of courage, audacity on behalf of the clients, but also on our behalf to really challenge, to be quite radical in our ways of challenging, to the cost of sometimes realizing that clients may not feel ready to look so deeply, but that's our calling, I mean, it's if we really want to make this happen, we need to have this insight and this way of looking very deeply and being supportive, not being in a place of developing guilt, but developing accountability and shared accountability and bringing examples, planting seeds also from one client to another, and creating this way of leveraging and creating an ecosystem of clients who are with us, around us, and spread the word and create community. That's how we see it. We are at the early stages for the moment, but we really believe in this methodology of planting the seeds of change. That's why we chose seedlings as a name, right?
And maybe to build further on that, this dimension of the ecosystem is very important because we see ourselves as pioneers and we get inspiration from other people who are engaged themselves, and it's kind of a virtuous circle. So, for example, we are part of the community of mission-driven companies, this special legal status I was mentioning previously. We are also part of a movement of companies who are engaged and maybe less traditional than the bigger, larger companies in France, at least. We also got a lot of inspiration from a movement that started from France and is now spreading, which is called Convention des entreprises pour le climat, companies convention, which brings together companies to really have a journey over a year of deep understanding of what's going on with the climate crisis so that they can redirect their strategy and include the needs of the planet. So that's a movement that is really very important and inspiring for us. And many of us at Seedlings have actually been coaches for companies in this movement. We are also close to something that might be interesting for the people who will listen to us. It's called Butterfly, which is a kind of school to really understand what is the regenerative economy and how we can change our thinking to really embrace the fact that living ecosystems could inspire us in how we run companies. And this metaphor of seeing the company as a living ecosystem is super powerful and really helps us to change our thinking, to have a new way of thinking, which can help us in this transition. And I really recommend to have a look at this journey, this digital course that Butterfly is proposing. I'm not a part of them. I'm not getting any money from it, but many of us have done it and can recommend it.
And I would just add to what you're saying, Monique, because this may sound very French, driven, but our influences are global, international. I mean, you mentioned the Cambridge course that you did. We have quite a few of our members who've done the Laura Storm and Giles Hutchins regenerative course. I have personally attended a retreat for with Giles Hutchins in the woods last summer to experiment the regenerative leadership deep dive. I'm about to embark on the Warm Data Labs with Nora Bateson to look at the dynamics of living systems and how we bring warm data into our way of working as systemic coaches. So we also have partners via also the CCA network, the Climate Coaching Alliance network. We have partners in other parts of the world, but we are starting from France. We have a quite a strong movement in this field in France, and as Monique mentioned, the climate convention for enterprises for climate was a big boost of support, encouragement for us coaches to say, yeah, there is a need out there. There is a market. Leaders are ready. Let's go for it. Let's support them. Because it was so empowering to see so many leaders embark on this journey. And at the time, I mean, I was a pro bono coach, you know, I was there to support this. And just seeing that wonderful energy and enthusiasm and seeing leaders, I mean, there was the top leaders of organizations and their planet champions on this 9 month journey. It was so heartwarming to see that that is possible. And that gave us the energy to say, yeah, we need to structure our way of responding to this because there is a real need out there. And maybe sooner or later, more organizations will realize that, more leaders will see it. And so that was also a strong moment and a strong energy for the creation of Seedlings, seeing that that is possible. And that they embarked on this journey to rethink their business model. But the business model and the roadmap for change is just the beginning. Then they need coaches to support them in the rollout, how to transform an organization, you know? So yeah, I think all these examples illustrate that gave us the courage to really step into our power and say, let's make Seedlings exist. Let's claim our space in this world, because there's a lot of sustainability organizations, change management firms, and we believe that coaching is the extra dimension that is needed for deep transformation.
Yeah, maybe to add on this, having been in this field for a few years now, we really believe that the way that many companies are approaching the transition is not enough. Very often it's big consulting firms who are asked to help with the strategy. But what they are missing is the human element and the fact that we are tackling something which is so complex that you cannot bring a one solution that will work for everyone. So it's really using coaching as a way to approach things with all the messiness, the complexity, and saying we don't have the solution, but what we are experts at is to create a field where you can really open your eyes to the wider angle of things and find more creative solutions which you can test and which need to be much more radical. And the other reason why consulting, traditional consulting is not enough is what we were saying about the inner change that is required, both individually and collectively. The fact that once you see that people are convinced and are ready to embrace radical change, then it creates a virtuous movement which inspires others. And this is where coaching can also play a role.
So inspiring.
Yeah, and an example I wanted to share there in the light of what you're saying, Monique, is just hearing in at the end of a team coaching session, hearing one of the participants, one of the leaders say, the question we need to ask ourselves is, what are we ready to renounce? What can we drop? Can we do without? And just hearing that from a participant, you know, it's just like my mission is accomplished, you know. So fulfilling to see that actually just planting seeds or opening windows, you know, and they do access this systemic way of thinking and saying you can't take things and look at them in silos. You need to see the big picture, and then the obvious is there.
Beautiful. And so, yes, it's complex. Yes, it's messy. But in a sense, if you sort of tap into all of this, then you're not doing all the work, right? You're going with the flow, you know? So
Exactly.
we're getting that real sense here. Really lovely to hear how you're sort of bringing to life the work that you do. But I know a lot of coaches often sort of think, well, what's the difference between coaching in the climate space and other coaching? And I know you're sort of beginning to speak to that, or you've spoken to that quite a lot. But I just wondered if there's anything else you might say to someone who's holding that question.
I would say that you don't need to be to have a PhD in climate to be coaching in this area, but it's very helpful to have done personal work on yourself, to have understood the magnitude of what is going on, and to have started to do even changes in your own life to align your convictions with your behaviors. And I think the key difference, once you have done this journey and you are engaged, is to bring this new pair of glasses to your clients and to bring the systemic view. And the fact that once you have a conversation with your client, you're not only serving the needs of the client, but you are serving the needs of the world. What does the world need for us to do together? And for this, we were really inspired by Peter Hawkins, Who is the founder or the father maybe of Climate Coaching Alliance. Andrea, you can say a word about this because you are even closer to him than me. But for me, I was deeply inspired by this. How do you make sure that even when it's one-to-one coaching, you set the scene in a wider angle and you try to see what is it that the world needs us to do together?
Yeah,
Indeed.
lovely.
I would just say that it's giving ourselves permission to question beyond the client's agenda or the client topic to widen the questioning frame. And indeed, I heard about the CCA creation thanks to an encounter with Peter. I was a keynote speaker for ICF Romania, and so was he. So we had a dinner together with the two other speakers, and he mentioned that. And I was so impressed with the way he was exposing on stage the other stakeholders, the invisible stakeholders who are not present. And it's future generations is other, I mean, all the, as we say, the ripples in the system that can be visible or invisible. And so I took that further, and I felt really compelled to bring that in my chemistry sessions today. So when I get to know a person before they decide to work with me, whether it's with Seelings or with my other company, my traditional company, International Mindstones, I speak about me as a coach, and I'm so firmly convinced that who you are is how you coach or train or supervise or consult. And I speak about my engagement, about my change of lifestyle, my living in the rural area, etc., and my deep convictions about climate, about our role as coaches. And some people love that authenticity because they know, and some people resonate a lot, and others may not resonate, and that's okay. So in a way, it's like through our authenticity and how we speak about ourselves, we attract the right clients. We choose our clients as much as they choose us, you know? And so that's the one thing. And I think it's when we say it up front and we are ready to position ourselves as I'm a leadership coach, an executive coach, but also a systemic coach, because that's why I was trained in team coaching with ORSC in 2010, so I am a systemic coach. But when I put systemic before executive, for me, it has meaning because I already introduced the system dimension. And it empowers me to bring that complexity from the beginning. So it's helpful. It's a bit of an identity quest, isn't it? How you position yourself, how you speak about yourself, and how clients make sense of, but how do you match your two hats, you know, or how does it work together? I've had a few clients who ask me that question, you know, so it's quite interesting. It's thought-provoking, and it invites you to really ask yourself the foundational questions. And it's not a plural identity, it's an integrative identity as a professional. That's how I see it.
Wonderful.
And I would say I've worked a lot in the frame of leadership. And since I've embraced this topic of climate change, I see it has changed my vision of how I deal with leadership workshops. And I recently had an assignment where it was for a big bank, and it was I was asked to design a course for high potentials who were about to embark in a 2-year journey to work on their leadership. And I was asked to design the kickoff of this journey, and I wanted to put the climate focus at the center of the course. And the HR person had not been through this journey and was saying, no, this is a separate topic. In our company, we deal with this separately. And I didn't manage to convince her that it had to be central. But when the course started, anyway, the discussion was there and it was in the field. And actually, the sponsor who introduced the course who was much more experienced than the participants. He brought it from the very beginning because it is in the field, and it changes our leadership in the way that we are here with the biggest crisis that we have ever faced, the biggest challenge, which is threatening humanity, and we cannot just ignore it. And this is why this is really a recommendation. Even if you are not a climate coach, it doesn't mean that you should not bring the topic in every coaching assignment that you have.
I would go even further, Monique, to say, as change professionals, how can we not approach this topic? How can we pretend it's not there? So it's very compelling to actually bring it in the open, to name it, and I would encourage all coaches to do so.
Absolutely.
And it's up to the clients to see if they want to go on that path or not, and that's
Yeah,
okay.
sure.
But at least opening those doors is important.
And it's even an ethical question for us as coaches, because if we facilitate a team coaching to help devise a 5-year strategy, and we haven't talked about the implication of climate change, can we say as coaches that we have done our job? I would not say that we have done our job.
Totally. Totally. Well, I hope this will inspire more people to engage. I'm just wondering actually, because we're talking about sort of creating you as change agents, really creating ripples, and I'm hearing that you're sort of feeling into the field. Often you're sort of like with this example you gave, Monique. So I'm just wondering if there's anything you might like to share, both of you, in terms of how being on this journey has changed you, maybe personally, or just that kind of in that sort of ongoing process of change, really. Just if there's anything you want to share there, because we're both changing and being changed, aren't we?
Well, for myself, I would say that what deeply changed inside of myself is the fact of belonging to a team of like-minded professionals and having this firm conviction that we're not there just for business, we are there to change the world together. And that creates sort of a magic connection between us. And the road is not that smooth for the moment. I mean, we've only been together for a year, but there is this connection that is so strong, and it's so transformative on my side, because we're learning to pave the way and to role model into this new way of doing business. Yeah, that's the first thing that comes to mind. So that's totally transformative on my side.
Yeah,
Emily.
and very, I resonate very strongly with what you say, Andra. I think the fact that we are working for a cause has created additional meaning to our jobs. So it's not the same job anymore. And even when we are commissioned with a coaching, which when we do the kickoff does not include this, we do it in a different way because it will still be in the field. So this is bringing a lot of satisfaction. The fact that maybe in 10 years I will retire and I can say to my children, I knew and I've done what I could. I've done my colibri part. And yeah, this is really bringing a lot of satisfaction. And also, it's a topic where you start to dig, and each time it brings you to dig further and further and further. And it's not a topic that is light. So this is really important to take a good care of ourselves, of our own mental health as well, because we don't want to be depressed. We want to bring joy to our clients, so we need to feel it ourselves as well. And at the same time, we are learning that joy doesn't come from material consumption, from buying more stuff, but more by doing things that has meaning for us. So we're kind of also in our journey modeling the way for our clients.
Yeah. We call it frugality. So questioning our habits, our past reflexes, to say, are we aligned when we do that? Should we choose a different kind of restaurant for our meeting with our mission committee, for example? So it's always at the back of our minds, And I would just add that in our team, we are two who are also trained supervisors, and we have an inner once a month. We call it our wasteland or Imfollow space with no agenda, where we actually have an inner vision, and we address those paradoxes or contradictions that are present in each one of us because we're human beings and we're not there yet.
Of
But
course.
we are aiming to pave the way towards that. And speaking of supervision, we're also creating, this is our latest space created an offer. We're creating an offer of group supervision for CSR and ESG leaders, and realizing that in a lot of organizations, they may feel very lonely, very isolated. And their task is just huge. And the more conversations we've had with the CSR leaders, we realize that there is a need for a space for peer work, being supported, having a space, a safe space to share, to reflect, to learn from one another, and to really name the things that are heavy to carry by oneself. So we're just opening that in April, a new peer group of supervision for ESG professionals. So I was about to forget
Wonderful.
that.
Very needed. These spaces are increasingly valued, I think. So really wonderful. So yeah, I mean, we're going to be including in the May June issue of Coaching at Work an article sort of describing in even more detail what you're doing and how it's all coming together and lessons learned and all the rest of it. And of course, that'll be available on www.coaching-at-work.com. And I wonder what, can you just share your website so that people listening can check you out a bit more?
Yeah, it's www.seedlings-transition.com.
Brilliant.
And there's
Thank
a French version and an English version, so you just need to find the English version for the international one. I think we have
The
two languages.
international one starts with EN at the beginning.
Okay, fantastic. So people can find out a bit more about you. But
We
before
also
we wrap
have a
up.
LinkedIn page. Just saying, we have a LinkedIn page, so people can reach out to us maybe more easily also through LinkedIn, or follow our LinkedIn page. We propose a lot of events, free events online, like sensitizing people to biodiversity, in the way of working. To there is the week. I don't know if you've heard of the week, a 3-day program created by Frédéric Laloux and his wife, Helen Durand. So we've just had a session, a episode session. It's a film followed by short conversations with the attendees about what is emerging as you watch these films. It's really powerful, and it's bringing this inner dimension out in the open. And we offer these to what about 2 or 3 times a year to our ecosystem. So we communicate a lot via our LinkedIn page as well. Sorry, I was about to forget that.
No, that's really great, and I will check it out myself. It all sounds fabulous. So just really before we wrap up, an opportunity for both of you to just pause and see if there's anything else that you feel you wanted to have shared.
I would just say, be the change you want to see in the world, and as a coach, even more so.
And I
Wonderful.
would add, be curious, try to acquire deeper knowledge and awareness about what's going on in this climate field, and don't hesitate to bring the topic with every coaching client.
Wonderful. Really inspiring, really motivational. So I'm really hoping that you'll galvanize more people to get engaged and check out your work. So very, Big thanks to both of you for agreeing to come on this podcast today.
Thank you, Liz. It's a privilege, and I really look forward to attending the Climate Action Day with Coaching at Work, and also all the fabulous events to follow with we organize with the Climate Coaching Alliance. We
Yeah,
have quite an
absolutely.
impressive panel of keynote speakers, and also there are events from other communities. So I think there is also the power of the CCA community that is so important. Because
Absolutely.
coaching communities is vibrant and is ready for this.
Yeah,
It's
absolutely. And all free, all free, all
yeah.
nowhere. Yeah. How about you, Moni? Any parting words there?
Join us.
Join us.
Maybe.
Yeah, love it. Okay. Thank you both so much.
You.